Yo, yo, what is up? Welcome to a post-game edition of the Forum Club. I am your co-host, Jovan Buha. The Lakers defeated the Memphis Grizzlies 94-92 on Tuesday night to improve to 6-2 and close out their four-game road trip with a perfect trip, sweeping both San Antonio and Memphis. Two likely lottery teams, but remember, this has been a shorthanded Lakers team. Alex Caruso has missed several games. KCP has now missed several games. Both were out for tonight's game. I think the story for me from this game was LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They combined for 52 points on 21 of 40 shooting, 21 rebounds, 11 assists, 4 steals, 4 blocks, and really took over this game over the last 4.5 minutes. Frank Vogel experimented yet again with the closing lineup, closing with AD, LeBron, Kuz, Dennis, and Wes Matthews, who got a look there down the stretch. And that lineup took over. They were down, I believe it was 2 or 3 points when LeBron checked back in after taking a quick break. And they took over, almost fumbled the game away at the end, but LeBron and AD scored 15 of the final 17 points, including 15 straight. And those 15 points really sealed it. And I think you saw why, any Laker fans kind of panicking about losing two games at home or losing to Portland and the Clippers and, kind of some of these slow, weird starts to the season. I think you all need to go back and watch the final 4.5 minutes of this game, because that to me is, if you're a Lakers optimist and you're saying this team is the favorite, and look, they've backed that up. They're 6-2. They have the second best record in the league. They have the second best point differential in the league. They're top five offense, top five defense. Like, they have the title benchmarks already, aside from being the defending champs. But I think, the end of this game really showed, why Laker fans should be confident in this team, because LeBron and AD, this wasn't against the Clippers or the Nets or the Bucks or the Celtics or an elite team. This was a likely lottery team, a team missing its two best players in Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. But this is a scrappy team, and they have size. They played the Lakers relatively well in both games. And it's a well-coached team. I really like Taylor Jenkins. So for the Lakers to just take over this game the way they did, and the formula of LeBron and AD and three shooters around them, Dennis, Kyle, and Wes are all above average shooters. Kyle and Dennis can make plays off the dribble. Even Wes can kind of pump fake and drive and kick. Like, all those guys can do different things offensively, and then defensively, obviously LeBron and AD, we know what they can do, but Kyle has stepped up and continued to grow. He didn't have a block tonight, but he did have, several nice contests. I think he's grown a lot defensively. And then Wes, we know what he can do. He's a proven defender. So, and then even Dennis as a point of attack guy. So that was a really nice two-way lineup that they closed with, but the ease with which LeBron and AD scored and just really took over the game down the stretch, running the two-man game, several times, but also isolating and AD spinning out of double teams to draw fouls or finishing, a driving kick from Dennis for a three, LeBron isolating against Dylan Brooks and hitting his spinning fadeaway and then motioning towards the ground that Dylan Brooks was too small to guard him. Like, just all that stuff to me is, stuff that's replicable and applicable toward playoff basketball. Like, that is, this had that type of intensity of, a close game, the second consecutive game these two teams played each other. Both teams could build off of the previous game. Memphis, similar to San Antonio, came out, much more prepared for the second matchup than the first matchup. The Lakers got their best effort tonight, and this team is not very good. And it was a weird game, 94-92, very low scoring. So a good defensive effort from the Lakers, but also not the best offensive effort. But tonight really just showed to me, like, The rest of the Lakers scored 42 points on, I'm checking here, 17 of 47 shooting, which was 36.2%. So the rest of the team, basically, you know, only one guy was in double figures. It was Dennis with 12, but he was 5 for 15, and he had 4 turnovers to go with his 6 assists. So not the most efficient night from him, but you know, even despite the rest of the guys struggling, LeBron and AD were able to take this game over. And that kind of is what gives you confidence in this Lakers team, that they have not only the best duo in the NBA, but quite possibly the best two players in the NBA, and you know, the two best closers or two of the top five closers. You know, we knew about LeBron, but we saw what AD did in the playoffs last season. You know, he has become arguably the most unstoppable one-on-one scorer in basketball. You know, I'm going to be writing about this soon, but he's, you know, obviously expanded his game beyond the three-point line, improved as a passer. Like he just continues to get better offensively. And I think, you know, if his jumper continues to hit at a very high rate, you know, similar to in the bubble, like he's just unguardable. There's nothing you can do. You can't double him. He'll you know, find the open cutter, the open shooter, swing the ball. But then he can attack anybody and attack any type of defense. So I really think that, you know, tonight, in the grand scheme of things, this was a somewhat forgettable game. You know, I don't think many Laker fans are going to be, when they're looking back on the season, like kind of thinking of this random Tuesday night in Memphis. But to me, it just reaffirmed that why this team is so dangerous, because as long as the game is close, LeBron and AD can take over. And it doesn't matter who the opponent is. Again, you know, I look at Memphis as a team that has a lot of size in the front court. Not the best defensive team, obviously, but to me, you know, that was really the thing to take away from this game, and not much else. So let's get into the open forum, our new Q&A style for post-game. Let's get into the first question here. 2020 City of Champs. That is at 2020 City of Cham 1. Has THT played his way out of the 10-man rotation once Caruso and KCP are back? He's been given plenty of minutes, but is wild on offense and plenty of missed assignments on defense. And I'm going to combine that with another question from Drunken Mamba at underscore Philiest. How much better will the Lakers be once KCP and Caruso are back? So I think the Lakers have clearly missed those two guys. You know, not only are they their two best perimeter defenders, but you know, they provide so much energy on both ends. You know, they are two of their better transition players. I mean, we see KCP leak out and finish all the time. Alex can also leak out, but can also push the break. So, you know, there has been that element of energy missing with this team. And I think you saw some of that sluggish play in San Antonio and Memphis. And I do attribute that in part to missing KCP and Caruso. Like, you know, those guys to me are, you know, those two and Trez are probably like the three guys who bring the most energy. And we've seen Trez has kind of struggled, you know, the last few games, dribbling the ball off of his foot or getting blocked or just not being as involved offensively as he was to kind of start the season. So, you know, he hasn't necessarily provided that shot of energy that he's accustomed to. I mean, he did in the first Memphis game, and, you know, he's played solid overall, but I just, you know, he's struggled a little bit the last few games. And I you know, part of me wonders how much of that has to do with KCP and Alex and, you know, those guys being out and the team not getting out in transition, not getting as many stops, because again, those two guys, I think are a step ahead of Dennis and Wes and Talen, defensively. And, you know, so the Lakers have missed that. And I think once those guys get back, like, I mean, they've been able to stay afloat without them. You know, they just had a 4-0 road trip. So it's not like they've missed them to the extent of actually costing them games. But after the 2-2 start, you know, having this 4-0 road trip, getting those guys back, Frank Vogel said he thinks Alex Caruso will likely be back for Thursday's game against San Antonio. You know, this is a step in the right direction. And, you know, this is what the Lakers need to do all season, because there's going to be nicks and knacks that keep guys out like KCP, or there's going to be health and safety protocols that keep guys like Caruso out. And you know, you have to be able to withstand that. And that's where I think the Lakers' depth has really stepped up, and you know, they've been able to win these games. Now, as far as THT, I do think that it's clearly been an adjustment for him. He is someone who plays better with the ball. And they actually said that on the broadcast today. I believe Stu said that you know, he is someone that clearly, you know, a lot of his buckets are him driving into the teeth of a defense, doing one of those crafty, you know, reverse layups or flip shots. And, you know, that is where he's most comfortable. So I think with him having to share the ball with LeBron and AD and Dennis and Mark, and you know, eventually Alex, once Alex is back, like, there's a lot of ball handlers and playmakers on this team. And I think that for him, it's an adjustment. You know, it was a little bit different in the preseason where he was kind of that backup point guard. I know he ran some of that in San Antonio and Memphis, but I think, look, he's a second year player. You know, I do think that if you're asking, is he going to be in the top 10 in the rotation, I would probably slot him 11th right now, especially with how well Wes Matthews has played. And, you know, again, he closed tonight's game. He's looked a lot better since hitting those six threes in San Antonio. So overall, right now, I probably would put Talen 11th in the rotation. But I do think he has the upside to crack the top eight, crack the top nine. It's just going to be a development process with him. And that's the thing we have to keep in perspective is, for as good as he looked in the preseason, he's still only 20 years old. And there's going to be a learning curve, that there's going to be, you know, stops and starts, and you know, development is not necessarily linear. But what I think is encouraging, if you want to look at something encouraging with Talen, is the minutes. You know, he's played 14 minutes, 24 minutes, and then 22 minutes. So his minutes have been there. He has not produced offensively. He was a team worst minus 22 tonight in plus minus. So obviously that didn't necessarily translate successfully, the minutes. But I do think that, you know, fans have been a little bit harsh on him. He's a 20-year-old second year, second round pick. Like, I think expectations need to be tempered a little bit, but also the proper perspective of, he's a guy who's developing on the fly. You know, he doesn't have a G League to go to right now. And this team doesn't have a lot of practice time, as Frank Vogel has mentioned multiple times. So I wouldn't really necessarily, you know, worry too much about him. I think there have been some flashes of plays he's made and defensive plays, you know, blocks, contests, steals. Like, he's been active on that end. He has not been, you know, good on that end, and he's been exposed a little bit at times. But I do think overall, you know, I've seen a lot of questions and some negativity with him. And I think everybody just needs to take a chill pill, relax, let him develop. And, you know, if it's game 50 or 60 and we're seeing some of the same problems, then I think it's time to maybe start to reevaluate things. But even so, you know, at the end of the season, he'll still be 20. So I think everybody needs to relax with the THT concerns. From John Pham, LA Lakers, at LA Lakers fan 88. On TV, I saw some courtside fans. Can you provide more insight into that? So in Memphis, they have courtside like friends and family and guests. So it was, I believe, 100 in the first game and 75 tonight. So it's weird because you would think that the fans wouldn't be so close. You know, that part was kind of weird. I don't know the exact specifics on if those people had to pass a rapid test or not. I would guess, you know, I would assume so. But, you know, I know the laws differ state to state, and county to county, and you know, stuff like that. So I'm guessing they probably had to pass a test. You know, I'm sure the NBA had their own protocol of, like, if fans are going to be a certain distance, because those fans are pretty close to the court, and you know, basically we're right there. And you've seen fans in like Utah and you know, a couple different places, but they're in the stands. They're still socially distanced from the players, and they're all wearing masks, obviously, of course. So I think that makes a little bit more sense if you're going to have people in there. But to have them right there on the court, I did think that was a little bit odd. But that was not fans. That was, you know, guests and family of the players and the staff. So we have time for a couple more questions. Lakers struggled when they went small. Well, this is actually from Aaron Labhan at Barnes 12 on Twitter. The Lakers struggled when they went small again, with Trez at center. Defense was much worse. He's not offering enough on offense. Is it just the reality of the center position now for the team, or can they do more to help this? Got another question about adding a center. I mean, I agree that the center issue has been an issue at times. We've seen Marc Gasol struggle to stay out of foul trouble. We've seen some teams attack Mark and Trez in the pick and roll. You know, Trez can struggle in the wrong matchup, especially when, you know, in this case, he's going up against Gorgui Dieng, who is a, you know, 6'11", 7-footer who can shoot the ball. And that is usually, a tough matchup for Trez. So I think, you know, there have been some tough matchups for him, but he is a matchup-based guy. And I think that was one thing when people asked me about his fit with the Lakers that I was trying to convey that there are going, you know, I think both he and Mark, there are going to be matchups that they don't necessarily work. Thankfully, I think it's almost the opposite where Trez, you can actually, you know, sometimes play against smaller guys. He will bully them and kind of overpower them with his strength and his athleticism. And he's deceptively long. You know, he has a 7'4" wingspan despite being 6'7". So, you know, he can dominate against smaller guys, less athletic guys. Where Mark is the guy you want more against the Jonas Valanciunas and like those types of guys. Where I thought, you know, Mark was really good defensively tonight. With his post defense, his one-on-one defense against Valanciunas' face-ups and so I do think that there is some overlap in terms of like the matchups where they both might struggle, but thankfully I think most matchups will be more of a Mark matchup or more of a Trez matchup, depending on the opposing personnel. And let's get to the last question here from Honey, at Potter_Honey on Twitter. Lakers games this start of the season have been a bit boring. Is it because of the no fan arenas, or is it on how they approach these games, a combination, or is it something else? I do think that, again, the lack of energy the last few games has in part been no Caruso, no KCP. I think those guys just provide so much energy on both ends that I think you will see a difference when one and or both are back. So that to me is part of it. I do think there's a little bit of like, you know, the Lakers are easing into the season. They've talked about managing the minutes of LeBron and AD. They had such a short break, you know, shortest offseason in NBA history, basically 2.5 months. So there's also an element of just, you're not only easing in LeBron and AD, but easing in everybody that was part of the championship run where you don't want, you know, at this point, right, like most guys would be kind of deep into the offseason and starting to get ready for training camp, not be, you know, over 2 weeks into a regular season. So I think that, you know, with that perspective, like it kind of makes sense why some of this has been, a little sloppy and a little sluggish at times. But I also think there's a lot of new pieces and there's a lot of guys who need the ball. There's a lot of high usage new pieces. You know, Dennis is a guy who needs the ball. He's probably going to be third in usage on this team. You know, Trez is a guy who needs the ball to be effective offensively. I mean, he's shown he can finish in the pick and roll and crash the offensive glass, but like, he does like his post-ups. He does like his face-ups. Like, you know, I expect the Lakers at some point to kind of work a little bit more of that in. Mark is another guy who, yes, he can spot up. He can space the floor, but you probably want to run some actions through him, some offense through him, some give and goes, some backdoor cuts, different stuff, pick and pop with him. Like, he needs the ball too. So it is, you know, multiple new pieces that are still adjusting and fitting in. And Frank Vogel's still experimenting. I mean, I think you look at the closing lineups again, he's going with different closing lineups every single game, pretty much at this point, you know, with LeBron and AD and Dennis kind of being the three guys that are always closing. So I think it's a combination of all those things. I do think the no fan environment doesn't help. I even look at a guy like Trez, who I think really feeds off of a crowd and is someone that, he's flexing and he's, kind of snarling and just kind of feeding off of the energy of the crowd, home or away. And, you know, he's someone that hasn't had that. So I wonder if that's affected him at all. But I think it's a combination of all those things. I wouldn't be too worried about it. Again, I mean, this team is 6-2, second best record. Top five offense, top five defense. Like, Lakers are fine. They still have an easy stretch of schedule coming up the next 4 or 5 games. I expect them to be something like 10-3 or 11-2 by the end of it. So I would not worry. I think any worries are premature, but I've gone too long again, up to 20 minutes here. So I thank you guys for listening. In the future, if you have any post-game questions, I'm going to continue to post on Twitter kind of the thread of reply to this if you have a question. But if you do have a question during a game or post-game, you know, definitely reach out to me on Twitter and let me know, and I'll do my best to answer it on here. So for the Forum Club, thank you guys for listening. I'm Jovan Buha. You can follow me on Twitter at JOVANBUHA. And I will talk to you guys later in the week.